So sorry for that. Sorry for that, dear viewers. I saw someone I hadn't seen for absolutely yonks. So I had to break off the video to say, Miss Robertson, I've forgotten her Christian name, actually. It was really her husband I was friends with, but sort of, you know, lost contact with him. So I gave her my card. Anyway, going on down Oxford High Street, when I first came up, that was a gym right in the centre of Oxford. Oxford University didn't have fantastic sports facilities. Didn't even have a swimming pool when I first came up. It had to sort of book slots at the various city swimming pools. Okay. Anyway, very frequent for bus routes. The Green Party. Now, call them what you like, such as, you know, far left, Luddite, killjoys, and all the rest of it. But anyway, the good thing about this being a real centre of strength for the Green Party is they do ensure there's superb public transport. And as someone who's more or less a non-motorist, there are not too many cars in the street for the very frequent buses. There's a bus company which also owns a university called Brookes, Oxford Brookes University. Not to mix up with Oxford University, which is in the same city. Oxford Brookes takes its name from one of its academics in the mid 20th century, John Henry Brookes. Okay, so you're getting an idea, a bit of High Street. I shall cross over frequently so you'll see what's on both sides of it. Now these buses, they're not too loud, are they? Partly electric. So, and I used to work here, I had the brave misfortune to work at a place called Mice's, an internet cafe, had two branches, went bust. Yeah, I worked there. I got sacked the day George W. Bush was elected, so there was some good news that day. But then he got elected, by the way, that's what I mean. Anyhow, down here, the Chequers, a very atmospheric pub with a pool table. Last time I ever played pool, billiard, snooker, what's the difference? You can see the black and white squares and the wheat sheaf. I remember when I came up for my interview many moons ago, the undergraduates used to take us, the applicants, out and try and get us sloshed, and I went down, but hopefully, you know, fortunately I can hold my liquor because, you know, I'm not small. And the idea was to get people so wasted they couldn't show up for their interview the next morning, but they haven't been allowed to do that for years, and nowadays it's all online, even if you live very close by. Look at that Santa Claus, okay, and a nice Thai restaurant, the Chiang Mai Kitchen. That's been going on for over 20 years. It's dispiriting how often these businesses go bust and change hands. The wheat sheaf. So that's what a sheaf means, like a bunch of wheat, a sheaf of papers. And that's been here for as long as I've known. Okay, too many buses. Curse the Green Party. You see what it's like over there. All right, and behind that's the covered market, which is what it seems like. Yes, there's a roof on it, and otherwise there's sort of like permanent shops in there, but it closed at 5 p.m. sharp. It's open 7 days a week though. So come over to this side, which is the north side of the street. You'll see more about what the High Street is like, okay? So we just passed by a bit of the old mock Tudor stuff going on. And there's a branch of Cafe Nero. There are at least two of them in the city. I'm a real sucker for the loyalty cards, I've always got those. Look, Bubbleology, is that for bubble tea? Now where is it? Oh, it's a bit further down where Mice's used to be. And there was a branch of Coutts Bank which went, which closed down not very long ago. Coutts is a very pucker bank. There was one on Eaton High Street. That's also gone the way of all flesh. Methinks the only one still extant is on Fleet Street in Londinium. So you had to have, was it at least 50,000 quid to open an account there. And Her Britannic Majesty used to bank with them. I don't know who else does. So I remember one of my mates used to get his money out of Coutts even though they didn't have an account with them. She said it looks better. So they were obviously the Coutts family who founded it, Coot. And then a Mr. Coot married a Miss Money, well, appositely named, and they became Money Coots, the family. And look at this, the Mitre Hotel, being owned since at least the 1950s. And look at the mitre above, their symbol. Can't see it very well from that angle. So as in a bishop's hat, it's meant to be redolent of the tongues of flame, which burnt out of the dozen apostles' heads at Pentecost, as in, was it 50 days after the ascension of our Lord and Saviour? Right, so, and Turl Street, as in, this is Turl Street here, as in there was a twirling gate, T-U-R-L, Turl Street, but some wags, they sometimes change the L to a D. Anyway, so we'll keep on going down. The Ivy, that was Coots. I'd never been into this restaurant. And then there is Eden Ravenscroft, which is a very smart gentleman's outfitter. Beside that was Mice's, the internet cafe. Now take my life in my hands by crossing over the street. Okay, I've lived to tell the tale, looks like. And then look at this handsome old Anglican church. which was closed down as a place of worship, deconsecrated in the 1960s, is now the library of Lincoln College, which is just behind it. Not named after Abraham Lincoln, it's named in honor of that household name, Richard Fleming, who was the Bishop of Lincoln in the 14th century, a chap from the West Riding of Yorkshire. And I have interviewed before a world authority on him, Mr. John Whitehead, who's now sadly retired at Nazareth House in London, a Catholic nursing home, a gentleman in his high 70s. So, yeah, take a look at that. That's Eden Ravenscroft. So, you know, that is elegance made flesh. Well, not quite made flesh, made cloth. But it doesn't come cheap in here. So, yeah, I do fancy myself in some of their clobber. Yeah, and this was Mice's, but don't worry, I got them back. I used to come back and piss through the letterbox after closing time. All right, I don't know what that was. But so if you read that famous Oxford story, Alice in Wonderland, written by Lewis Carroll, real name Charles Lutwidge Dodgson, and he writes about that eccentric Mad Hatter, who's based on a real person, who was a furniture dealer who had his premises here on Oxford High Street. Can't remember which one it is. And look at these bars over that to the old graveyard of that church. And the undergraduates from Lincoln used to climb in and out from there. Okay, the Oxford blue, since it's dark blue, more or less navy blue, is the colour of Oxford University. That's why Oxford versus Cambridge is called a blues match, as well as a varsity match. They got light blue at Cambridge, and at Eton we copied our pale shade of blue, almost a sky blue from them. There you go. Okay, and then the varsity shop. So varsity being just an elipsion of university, as in cut off the uni, change the E to an A, varsity to varsity. There it is. So you can buy all your kitsch, all your memorabilia in there. And if you really are an Oxfordian, you would not buy anything like that. You might buy something with your college on, your college hoodie or scarf, which I did, but deliberately counter-signaled by not having the name. It's for mutual recognition rather than blazoning forth your glory, because that would be distasteful. Okay, Shepherd and Woodward has been there forever and a day. Remember one of the little changing rooms there one time? I noticed that there was this framed portrait of the Oxford University Blues team, as in Rugger though, and it was a certain G.D. Corkwell, a New Zealand undergraduate at Christchurch, who'd played once for Scotland, once ever, because his parents were Scots born. He was later a don at my college uni. He died at just over the age of 100 in 2019. And that's the kind of stuff they sell at Shepherd and Woodward, so yeah. Anyway, I've got a lifetime's worth of clothes. So here we are on the high street. We're gonna come up to the university church. So there are more things to bear in mind. So we're gonna see Brasenose over there, and it looks medieval, but this is actually built in 1881, right? So what do you think? Quite effectively done. It's the 19th century that became this craze for all things medieval. The Arthurian legends were republished. That's why Mort d'Arthur was written by Alfred Lord Tennyson. And that's why the Oxford Union, there's illustrations by William Morris, murals of Mort d'Arthur, as in the death of King Arthur and so forth. Because I suppose it was a reaction against the Industrial Revolution and the Transport Revolution and so forth. So people were a bit nostalgic about it. Obviously, the Middle Ages was even worse for most people than the Industrial Age. Okay, so so that church, that was All Saints, the one there. You can see its spire, the one that's now part of Lincoln. All right, so going down King Edward Street, and there's Vincent's, and they've never been into it. It's a club for like university athletes, those who've got a blue, as in they represent the university in a certain sport. There are half blues for other sports like golf, not very major sports, down there. That blue door, you hold yon blue door, and up there is Vincent's, which I've never ever been. Down here is a bit contentious, the plaque honouring the founder of what's now Zambia and Zimbabwe, Cecil John Rhodes, who was an undergraduate at Oriel in the 1870s. So yeah, you see more of Brasenose, surnamed for its brass nose door knocker. So the brazen nose, because it got shiny, more than people rubbing it. Now David Cameron went there, but don't let that put you off. Only one other Prime Minister ever attended, and that was Henry Addington, the only Wickhamist until Rishi Sunak came along to have been First Lord of the Treasury. He was seen as a bit of a political minnow. What Pitt is to Addington as London is to Paddington. London, which is in those days a village, Paddington just well outside London. So you look up high, the gargoyles. Look at the handicraft, you know? What attention to detail, very intricate. I shall cross over again to the to the north side of the street. Now we are tapering down towards the ISIS mighty flood. Oh no, it's not the Charwells, forgive me. Charwell, pronounced Cherwell, flows through Oxford, and there here's the confluence of the Charwell and the ISIS, because the Charwell is a tributary thereof. So you see what we've been missing. So that's some of what we've passed by, because the Thames, when it flows through Oxford, is known as the ISIS, short for Temesis of the Thames. And I'll just have to go onto St Mary's Passage, slightly off the high street, and show you something. I think it's a real treat. What a curiosity. Often passed by. It's probably my third year here before I spotted this. Now, look at these carvings high up. Look at that. Check out Pan, complete with his pan pipes. Looking like the devil with the cloven hoof, with the pan pipes, the little beard, even the impish expression on his face. And here you see his identical twin. Yeah? How about that? How cutesy is that? Or is it faintly creepy? And then in between, on the door, look at the face. Who's peeping out of the reeds? Have you noticed that? You know, very carefully carved. So I like all these quirky things. And, you know, there would have been way more of these gargoyles here. These fearsome things warding off evil spirits, but that one's completely eroded, rubbed away, so vandalized deliberately. So yeah, so back onto the high street. I shan't go all the way down to Charwell, the Charwell. And there was one scientist in the Second World War who got that title, because if you really distinguish yourself in public service, you can be ennobled, become a peer, and the peerage often relates to a place. It can be a, you know, you don't have to use your surname, you can be whatever place, Charwell, in this case a river, Lord Charwell. Or indeed, you can have your surname and then of a place, like, you know, Lord Bird of Notting Hill. Okay, so that's a bit of Christchurch. And this is built just before the First World War. Why it shows King Edward I up there and George V. Well, so because George V took over in 1910. And then you see Cecil John Rhodes, by whose liberality this place was built. But again, people are saying this ought to be taken down. There's an explanatory plaque over there, retain and explain. I know an old member of Oriel, and that Oriel Ensis is actually a Zimbabwean, and he sits on the committee in which he says, this is no, we should keep it. By the way, he's a black Zimbabwean. People might say that would delegitimize his input if he were white. Okay, so that's a relatively new part of Oriel, but behind that is the older part of Oriel, one of the colleges of Oxford University. And we've been passing by St Mary's, which is the university church, where the trial of the three bishops took place in, was it 1555, as in Nicholas Ridley, Thomas Cranmer, and Hugh Latimer. Cranmer being Archbishop of Canterbury, as in the highest priest in England. And then the other two, Hugh Latimer was Bishop of Worcester, and Nicholas Ridley, Bishop of London. And they were all burnt at the stake on Broad Street, that was the old town ditch, for heresy. Okay, so you get a view of the University Church there. One of the oldest buildings in the city, certainly the oldest church. And look at the spire. You could pay to go up to where the clock is. I've done it. The cafe around the back. The German Lutheran congregation meets there once a month. They've been doing so since the Second World War, when anti-Nazi refugees came here. And here we go on. Look, they've nicely cleaned up the sandstone there for Omne Am Memoriam, as in all souls, founded by King Henry VI, who also founded King's College Cambridge and Eton. But he founded this in 1454, as in just after the end of the Hundred Years' War, to commemorate all the souls those were killed in both these wars. So this is for dons only. So once having sat your finals, the top two people in each subject are invited to sit an exam for all souls, including a viva voce, as in an interview. And then two people each year, out of all subjects, are elected fellows of all souls, prize fellows, and they get to be there for 7 years. They get money to live off, they get bed and board, they don't have to be there, they can stay there for a whole 7 years, they can only go there once or twice, as much or as little as you want, and get on with research, or read for the bar, or do whatever you want. But there are people who are there more substantively for a career. There are other ways to get into all souls. So, as in, they will viva two people from history, two people from foreign languages, two people from maths, two people from biology, whatever. Out of all the subjects, only two get in. Okay, and then a more modern bit of all souls. But anyway, that's possibly enough the high street. I might do the lower end of the high street later on. So I hope, if you've not been to Oxford, it's giving you a bit of a feel for the place. and these traffic islands, they were put in by a Univ master, as in the head of house. Univ, that's University College Oxford behind me, my one. And in the 1980s, there were problems with people almost being run down by traffic as they crossed over. And so the master of the college, he insisted these traffic islands be built so people would be a little bit safer when they're crossing over. And there you are. Now, well, it's hard to see it from this angle, but I did notice the flag on that tower. Oh, it looks so white. To the naked eye, it's more visible. The flag on that tower is flying at half mast. I thought one of the dons must have died. And then you see that that domed roof, and that is the Shelley Memorial. Percy Bysshe Shelley, an undergraduate at this college, who was notoriously sent down for publishing The Necessity of Atheism. Admittedly, he did it anonymously, but he had the effrontery to send it to the head of every college in Oxford University, I think to all the Anglican bishops. As you can imagine, the Episcopal bench did not take too kindly to this profession of disbelief in Christianity, and indeed in all the supernatural. So he was fingered, and he was sent down, as they said, for captiously refusing to answer questions proposed to him. That was a verb used, proposed to him. So he was a contumacious type, and so his father was a man of some consequence, being a well-known Whig MP, Sir Timothy Shelley. And it was said to him that if his boy were to be contrite and to retract what he'd said, they would take him back the next year. But this the boy refused to do, and his father cut him off without a penny. He did actually later relent and restore his allowance. And look at these fairly pretty houses. They're belonging to Queen's. That's Queen's College there. A really bland, anonymous college. The only noteworthy person ever to have attended that one, well, Jerry Bentham and one other, Rowan Atkinson. Read electrical engineering then in the 70s as a postgraduate. He'd been an undergraduate at Newcastle. But he's, Stephen Fry wrote of his co-star, he's the most unlikely person to have an extraordinary comedic gift. And if he goes to a party, he'll stifle a yawn at 8 o'clock, make his excuses and go home. He just doesn't like to socialise. Or as Charlotte Church said of a miserable bastard. So he's lacking the affability one might have expected on someone who's blessed with the most exceptional gift for mirth. And electrical engineering and humour seldom go together. Perhaps he's the only one where they do. All right, so that's enough from Oxford High Street. Hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, dig deep. It is the season of goodwill. It's the giving season for you to give to me, that is, not the other way around. Okay, goodbye.